This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Thrown by LeBron James! A pick six! Oh, but he missed it!
8 second violation. Rivers took his time bringing it up the floor and didn't get across the timeline in 8 seconds.
Good pass. Melo was so surprised he was that wide open. He was expecting Porter to be on his hip, and he airballed a two-footer.
Rebound tipped, taken by Decker, and Decker's got a clear path. Oh, he falls down! A clear path to the basket of the Garden crowd.
Another embarrassing moment.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. After a lengthy absence, we are back here to do a season preview for as many teams as we possibly can do. I'm joined by Adam Murray. Adam, are you excited?
It's going to be a fun season.
Is that it, or you got a little bit more to elaborate on that?
Ooh, yeah.
Well, there's so many moves that we're going to have to talk about. I mean, we did delve into a little bit of it the last time we were together. What was that, in July, August?
It's been a while.
It's been a while since we've been it was probably the busiest offseason in NBA history in terms of player movement.
Oh, of course it was.
By
a long shot, like everybody moved, like
just the trades and the free agency, yeah.
Everybody, like one team, you know, it all started with Anthony Davis, and then after him, everybody just got moved. It was like, we're not waiting for the moratorium to end. We're just all these deals.
Well, the Clipper one was a whirlwind. That was one that I don't think too many people knew that the Clippers had the cap space to make it happen. I don't think people knew it was going to be that seismic.
And like the second that happened, like 50 other deals were done. It's like,
yes,
what?
And then the only two teams that were like playoff teams that just were kind of standing pat were Houston and Oklahoma City, and they swapped point guards, which like that one really surprised me. I mean, we'll talk about some of these teams as we go along, but you know, I'm really excited to be back. Are you excited to join me again in this adventure that we call the NBA season on the Place to Be Nation podcast network? The pop feed.
Yes. Let's get into it.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about just some more of the fringe teams on this segment of the show. Let's just jump right in. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about the Chicago Bulls. Now, this is a team that I don't even know if they're even going to be. I would put them more as a basement dweller. Do you have a little bit more optimism for Chicago?
So you're going really fringe on this. We're starting.
Adam, this was a 22 win team, and their over under is 32 and a half wins. I don't understand it. They added Thaddeus Young, Tomas Satoransky, and they drafted Kobe White. Whoop de doo.
Which really doesn't make any sense because they couldn't get rid of Chris Dunn because nobody wants him. Then you have Satoransky, who's really a backup. He's gonna probably play point because if you have Levine, and Otto Porter. What is Satoransky going to be? Is he going to be the backup to both those guys, and then Dunn and White are going to split at the one? And
yeah, is Thaddeus Young going to take minutes away from Lauri Markkanen? You know, because Markkanen works more for that small ball four.
Markkanen's, you know, he's just the stretch five, and then Wendell Carter's more the four in that group, and it's they spent money strangely. Like, I don't know why. Like, Thaddeus Young puts him over what?
He's a very good defensive player, so that's kind of the value that he was adding to the mix. They still have some of their, you know, dead weight. You know, Cristiano Felicio, Denzel Valentine. I was fine with them re-signing Ryan Arcidiacono as a backup point guard. You know, that's somebody that the Bulls liked and developed. But after that, really not a lot of depth. I mean, it's just another – it's a team where Levine's going to get a lot of scoring. Otto Porter Jr. looked okay at times in a Bulls uniform, but you want to see how he does in a full season. And with Chris Dunn, you just wonder if he's going to get traded.
Well, they tried desperately, but nobody wanted him. So they're kind of stuck with him, hoping he'll do something. But this isn't a team that has much to offer right now.
No, it's a team that's kind of a little bit of a mess. But, you know, Markkanen, he's got a really nice future. And then Wendell Carter Jr. Were you a fan of Wendell Carter Jr. last year as a rookie?
No.
No. So, you know, there's something there that they're going to have to mix up with the with Markkanen, Porter, Levine, and then Thaddeus Young in the mix. 32.5 wins. Would you go under or over?
I'd probably say under on that, but
I go way under.
But
I
given how like bad the dumpster fire is, we'll get to later, mm-hmm. I might have to say maybe even a little over, because they do have potential in youth as opposed to just garbage. But I don't see what, you know, they're
Do you think they'll mix well with Boylan? I mean, he had that almost like near mutiny last year.
Yeah, but then they started to play for him at the end, and it was Chicago's just a mess.
All right, let's move on to the Dallas Mavericks. Now, Kristaps Porzingis, he's been with the team now via trade, but he didn't play a minute. Now he's signed the max contract. He's there with Luka Doncic, your hero. Dirk Nowitzki is finished. Are you going to miss Dirk?
How much
are they going to miss him as a player?
Oh, he had provided nothing. He gave him hardly anything at the end. The problem with Dallas is they have no backups to anybody. You got Doncic, mm-hmm. who's your point guard. He's essentially the point forward. You don't have a real point guard anymore. You have Jalen Brunson and DeLon Wright.
Yes, and Seth Curry is a shooter, so that doesn't count.
Yeah, you have Tim Hardaway, who's just a volume shooter. You got Justin Jackson from Sacramento. Not really super going to light anything up.
Their small forward position is not good. You got Tim Hardaway Jr., who's overpaid, backed up by Courtney Lee and Dorian Finney-Smith. That's going to get horribly exposed.
And then you're outside of Dwight Powell, who they like. They are big mm-hmm. fans, and they paid him again.
They signed him 4 years, $37 million.
And you got Boban and Maxi Kleber. Like, that's mm-hmm. not – you got no backups on your team. Like, if your sixth man is Seth Curry and then Justin Jackson maybe, like, not
– What if – this is a long shot. What if Jalen Brunson makes a jump as a point guard? Do you think that'll save him a little bit? Like, maybe stretch some wins for him so that they don't have to play, you know, too many weird lineups? Because I – here's the real question with Porzingis and Doncic, and we're going to talk about a lot of these two-man groups. Do you think they're going to stagger the two, or do you think they're going to play them throughout together for the majority of the minutes?
Oh, they have to play them together.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, do you think that Porzingis is going to be like more of a second-team guy, whereas Doncic plays first-team?
No, they're both going to be first-team guys.
Okay.
You need them
both.
They're
just going to try to like give them a knockout punch with Porzingis and Doncic.
You have to find – there is no backups to anything. You need to find chemistry between them. You can't have chemistry if one's plateauing with the second unit. Like Doncic is going to play 45 minutes.
There are some superstar tandems where I don't think they have much of a choice. Like they're going to have to find a way to like keep one guy on the court at all times. Whereas with Porzingis and Doncic, I don't know if that's going to work. Like you're saying, like I think that you need to put as much value into having the both of them on the court as possible. Doncic is just a terrific player. You know, where would you put him? Like top 20 in the NBA right now? Maybe top 25. Best players in the NBA?
I don't even know right now because he's up there, but there's been so much movement and, you know, well, where do you put Chris Paul now? Is he a top 20 player now?
Mm-hmm.
When he feels like it, but he gets injured now, he's old, so.
And what do you expect from Porzingis coming off the, I mean, he hasn't played basketball in over a year.
Oh, he should be fine.
Okay. And to remind people, what is Porzingis like? What is the ceiling like? What is he in a nutshell? A great stretch five who can block shots.
He's supposed to be the next level Nowitzki, just
okay.
A stretch five who is just, you know, 3 inches taller and essentially the same player. But
okay, 40 wins over or under.
Under.
I'll go under there too. I don't think they're a playoff team. To be honest with you,
the problem is the West is so stacked, and they have no backup. No, like if Kristaps has to rest or can't do back to backs, it's an automatic loss.
the Detroit Pistons, coached by Dwayne Casey in his second year. They did make the playoffs with 41 wins. The over-under here is 37.5. You know, Blake Griffin, he's got some injury issues, but he can still provide. He had some pretty good moments there. Andre Drummond, I am probably alone in that boat, but I still think Drummond is a fantastic player. They get Tony Snell in a trade. They sign Derrick Rose. They drafted Sekou Doumbouya. They bring in Markieff Morris. I just don't know about this team. I get kind of the same vibes that I did from last year. I hate to sound repetitive, but I just don't see too much of a change in scenery.
No, they went all in this year, mm-hmm. as much as they could now, because – you know, Drummond is the old school player. He doesn't fit anymore. But him and Blake are still, with teams going small ball, you can't stop either of those guys if they're together.
No, and Griffin's not bad.
Tony Snell is, you know, he's decent. He's not going to light anything up, but he's serviceable. And then the problem is you got no shooters again, but they went all in because they got Derrick Rose.
Mm-hmm.
So if Reggie Jackson struggles, Rose lit it up last year, so they're trying to recapture some of that magic and hope they can make the playoffs again.
What do you expect out of maybe some of the smaller depth lineup? I mean, their depth, I think, is a little bit better than most teams think. I think Luke Kennard is a pretty good – like, he started some of those playoff games when they lost to the Bucks. Thon Maker's okay. He's still – you know, he's still got that potential because of his – yeah, but what I'm saying, he's still got the potential. You know, I haven't completely given up on him yet. You know, you always marvel at how young Andre Drummond is despite how long he's been in the league, because he came in the league at 18 years old. Maker did too. So, I mean, I think that we still got a little bit of time there. Bruce Brown, Zvi Mikhaya, Kyrie Thomas, not really. I don't really see much there. And then Joe Johnson reinvigorated his career playing in the Big Three League. What did you think of that?
I don't think he offers much other than teaching. He's just he could shoot. But he's too old now.
Yeah, but if they need a shooter and they get down to maybe the last couple of seconds of the shot clock, Joe can make a shot.
I'll take it.
37.5 wins.
I'd probably go over. Because they've overachieved with Casey.
I'll go there too. I'll say over, but not by very much. The problem with Casey's teams is that they kind of we had the same problem in Toronto. They seem like more of the same. Like they don't. It has like this kind of sameness to it that just kind of bores you. But with Blake Griffin there and Andre Drummond, you sort of expect them to be at least in the hunt. I don't expect them to just completely bottom out. So you ready to move on to the West so we could talk about another team that is kind of giving more of the same at the top?
Who's that?
The Minnesota Timberwolves. Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins is back. Jeff Teague is now in, now that Derrick Rose, as we talked about, is in Detroit. Robert Covington, who they got in that Jimmy Butler trade, is still there. After that, they made wholesale changes with their depth.
I had issues with this team.
Okay.
I want to put him in the dumpster fire case so bad, but you have two max players on the team.
Towns is too good. I don't think that he'll let them be terrible.
That's the problem, is they got, you know, they let all their free agents go pretty much.
Yeah.
And you replaced them with really unexciting
Jake Layman, Jordan Bell.
Like Jake Layman is right now the starting three because there's nobody there.
Noah Vonleh. And then they drafted Jared Culver, who no one really saw in Summer League, so we're kind of – it's a little bit of a mystery. I liked him in Texas Tech, but he's kind of like a taller guard. Josh Okogie, he played really well as a rookie. Do you expect this?
He played serviceably, but he didn't, you know, blow anybody away. And then, you know, they got – they're taking a flyer on Vonleh, which he's mm-hmm. been on like four – he's been like five teams now in like 5 years.
Yeah, but I think this is the time. I think this is going to be the time where Vonleh actually kind of fits a niche, you know, in Minnesota. Brian Saunders, by the way, was retained as the full-time head coach after an interim start when he replaced Tom Thibodeau, who was fired. The key here, and everyone knows it, is that Andrew Wiggins has to make the jump. I mean, he has got to really be serviceable. His numbers were respectful for a star player, but they have got to be. I mean, it's not just necessarily his max contract. It's just the fact that he can be better.
He's got to want to play, which seems to be the problem, is he doesn't want to.
Mm-hmm. You know, Towns just really went on a tear. So, he had a specifically, I think it was the month of February or March, where he was like, he may have been the best player in the Western Conference. He was that good. Moving on, let's go to the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, this is all over the place. Oh, by the way, Minnesota, 35.5 wins. They had 36 last year. So Vegas is saying that they're going to be a bit more of the same. Would you go under or over?
I'd probably say under, because it's just, this team is just tough to like.
I think there's more wins out there in the West, so I'll go over. New Orleans Pelicans. This one's a little bit wacky. They had 33 wins last year with Anthony Davis demanding his trade, not playing a lot in the second half of the season. They're at 38.5 wins after they won the their over-under is 38.5 because they get Zion Williamson in the draft lottery. They get a couple other draft picks with it. They bring in Derek Favors, J.J. Redick, Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram in the Laker trade for Anthony Davis. It's a brand new team outside of Drew Holiday and Etuan Moore. So what do you think? I mean, I'm a little biased. I'm a Pelicans fan. What do you think about this new version of the New Orleans Pelicans?
They are they're curious. Mm-hmm. I think would be the best word. Because you have Lonzo Ball and Drew Holiday, two point guards. You have Redick, who's just going to he's a shooter. Ingram, I don't know what he wants to be. He still hasn't taken that leap, I don't think. Zion, everybody's super high on. I didn't mean to rhyme. And then Derek Favors is just, you know, we have been talking about him for years. Like, he just, this is his ceiling. He's never going to be anything better.
The one thing I do like is that it feels like they have a second team to go with their first team. Like, you know, we're talking about a first team that probably is Holiday, Redick, Zion, Favors, and Ingram. And then would you see Ball as a backup point guard maybe?
No, I see Ball starting.
So you think Drew Holiday will play off the ball and J.J. Redick might come off the bench?
I think that might be the case.
Okay, but you see what I'm getting at? Like, you got a little bit of a nice mix there. You bring in Nicolò Melli, you bring in Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Jackson Hayes, who are the two other draft picks that they got. I will say this: I really like Nikhil Alexander-Walker. That guy has got some pep in his step. I saw him at Summer League and he really blew me away. Etuan Moore is still there. Jahlil Okafor is like a backup big. He probably is like a third string big behind Favors and Zion. It really just comes down to what Zion can do. You know, as a rookie, I expect him to be pretty good. Like, I see something in the range of like 16, 8, a couple of assists, and maybe like a block or two per game. Would you say the same?
I hope so, because people have such high expectations of him.
Okay, but if you get those numbers, would that wow you, or do you think that the hype train has kind of left the station for Zion?
Well, the hype train, I would say that's a failure.
Okay.
Not like 20-10 off the bat.
No, I don't. I mean, I can see him having some games like that. You know, we're in this new up-tempo league where everybody is scoring in bunches, getting 130, 120 all the time. This is Drew Holiday's team now. So we'll see. We'll kind of get an idea of what the team looks like with a smaller lineup. You know, Alvin Gentry also is an offensively minded coach, so he's got a little bit more punch to scoring punch than he did in the previous years when he had, like, you know, Julius Randle and, you know, before that Rajon Rondo. Like, you know, I think offensively they were pretty good, but I think this is probably the best offensive team that Gentry has had in New Orleans.
Agreed.
Okay. 38.5 wins. That's kind of high. I will safely go under. I want to go over as a fan, but my head is saying under. I think they're going to be probably like a 35 win team and miss the playoffs.
Oh, I think they're going to miss the playoffs, but I think they'll be a little over.
Okay, so you think they'll be like 39 to 40 wins?
I think so.
I mean, that's good. You know, that means that you're a good team.
They are a good team. J.J. Redick is a very good player, and he will, on the second unit, destroy everybody.
I will say this for Brandon Ingram. that man has very long arms. I was watching him in preseason, and I was just absolutely amazed at his wingspan. You know, I heard about it in L.A., but until you're, like, watching, your team and you're, like, getting a good glimpse at some players and you're watching them more than you're used to, you get in a good idea of what they're like. And, man, Brandon Ingram, physically, I think – I mean, obviously, he needs to develop his body still, but he's got just crazy, crazy range.
All right, where are we heading to next?
Next, we're going to be talking about the Orlando Magic out in the Western Conference. They basically stood pat. They didn't really make too many changes at all. They re-signed Nikola Vucevic. They re-signed Terrence Ross. The one guy they brought in was Al-Farouq Aminu, and they're also expecting a little bit of development out of Mo Bamba and Markel Fultz, who they got in the trade with Philadelphia, but he didn't play a lick. He's already played in preseason, so we're going to see. I mean, do you see Fultz taking over as the point guard from D.J. Augustin?
He has to.
D.J. Augustin can still start.
He's not good, though, and that was the problem, was this team
but they
has
still,
no
But
point
they made
guard.
The playoffs with – yeah, well, D.J. Augustin wasn't good last year, and they made the playoffs.
The problem is this team is just weird. It was like they you know, shunned Vucevic, and also, no, we love him. Here's a ton of money. Like, Jonathan Isaac got injured, and then, well
– I think he's found a niche as a role player on this team. I think Jonathan Isaac is kind of in a good spot. I wish he would take another leap. I think he's young enough to do that, but I don't want to say time's running out on him, but you know, I feel like this is the year to do it.
The thing is, like, why would you get Aminu then if he's not going to start? Like,
that's a good question. I mean, I guess maybe they just wanted a starting three who can make some threes.
I guess. And then, you know, him, Terrence Ross, and you know, Mo Bamba, like, their second unit isn't bad, but it's just, it doesn't make sense for them to sign Aminu.
And then they bring back Ken Birch. They brought back Michael Carter-Williams. Can you make sense out of that one for me?
Cheap.
Okay. Aaron Gordon, do you think he kind of works as a point forward? I got that sense watching him, like, he's actually a really good passer, and he's just in this situation where he's not being asked to be a point forward, so he just kind of shows his talents every now and then, and they kind of spark out every now and then. But overall, he's sort of a square peg in a round hole. He gets paid really well, and he's a really talented player. But do you feel like he can expand his horizons?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what his ceiling is, because he still relies on his athleticism.
Like, is he an Andrew Wiggins type, almost?
He's a little – no, because Wiggins is just a shooter. He's more athletic.
Yeah, a little bit – he's got some defensive moxie to him.
Yeah, you're trying – he's like – his three isn't that pretty, but he still wants to take it. And then, you know, Wiggins is just a shooter, and he doesn't try to – Wiggins doesn't want to play. That's his problem.
Well, Gordon does want to play. That's why they made the playoffs. They were at 42 wins. I believe the over-under here is somewhere around – let me double-check. I want to say it was at 41.5. Would you go basically the same as last year? Would you?
Yeah, I'll push.
41.5. You'll push? So you think they'll make the playoffs?
They have the potential. I think the East, they probably should.
The East is going to be weird. I mean, we're going to talk. We can explain throughout the, you know, our previews why we think it's going to be weird. You know, we have a lot of teams kind of.
Well, we're starting with Group Three. The just missed out. The Skilo. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I, you know, just something is just a little off. Like, you're, whether it be questionable signings or just weird lineups, or I don't know.
These are teams where we're thinking about, you know, playoffs, and we think this might happen. Like, you know, Dallas, Detroit, New Orleans, Orlando. Like, I can see the possibility. This team, I think, should make the playoffs, the Sacramento Kings. They made some curious moves in the offseason. I am not going to doubt that. You know, Dwayne Dedman, Corey Joseph backing up De'Aaron Fox, I didn't have too much of a problem with. Trevor Ariza, I don't get it. Rishon Holmes, I don't get it.
Sacramento is just like, we have money. That's awesome. You guys should do something with it. Okay, let's pick all the weirdest things in the world.
Like, why do they need Dedman? I mean, Marvin Bagley is going to be your starting five.
Most likely with Bielica as the four, but there's no backup to either of them. Like, Rashawn Holmes hasn't.
Are you saying Caleb Swanigan and Wenyen Gabriel aren't going to get the job done? I'm joking. But Harrison Barnes got paid 4 years, $85 million.
Yeah, they like him for some reason.
Well, I thought he was opting out for sure that when the opt-out happened, I thought for sure he was done. It turned out that he just basically, you know, dipped back in, you know, to get a longer contract, you know.
Which there's nothing wrong with that if that was
the
plan.
No, but if you can make the deal, if you can get the deal done, good for you. It really comes down to, you know, we talk about duos, De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield. Now, Buddy Hield is 27 years old. He's going to have an extension coming up really, really soon. Do you think he's going to get wrapped up by the middle of this month or maybe the end of October?
No, they'll probably let it play out, but he's been good. He finally became that shooter everyone wanted him to be.
I'll disagree. I think they're going to get a max extension done for him. You know, I don't think they're going to do like they did with Willie Cauley-Stein and just wait it out.
Well, they didn't want him. He didn't want to be there. They didn't want him. Buddy, I don't think he's going to be a max player because I think Bogdan, he might have 1 year left.
He's a restricted free agent coming up too.
Yeah, so you got to pay. You're not going to pay both of them and then Fox next year.
You just mentioned him. Where would you put him in the top point guards? In the top 10, De'Aaron Fox?
We'd have to see how the landscape is these days.
You want to know what's amazing about De'Aaron Fox? He's 21 years old. He's not going to be 22. He's going to be 22 in December.
He's just super lightning fast, and he needs to ride that as long as he can because once that speed goes away, there's not much right there.
Did you agree with the firing of Dave Yorker? Inverse the hiring of Luke Walton.
Who knows?
It was a curious move.
That's just the definition of Sacramento, just one big curious move.
But yeah, overall, like they had 39 wins last year. They were on a tear earlier in the year. It seemed like they were well on their way to 40 wins, and then they sort of faltered at the end. They're at 37.5 wins, the over-under. I'll go over. I think this is going to be a playoff team.
I will probably just say under.
Okay.
I think something's going to fall apart. Somebody's going to get injured, and the team will just...
If they get an injury to Fox, that would cripple them.
They're too weird to make it for long, especially if just you got Deadman and Giles you're sort of hoping on doing something. So
Harry Giles, and then Yogi Ferrell is your other. He's like the third string point guard, I'd say, behind Joseph, or maybe it depends on what you consider Bogdanovich.
He's just the definition of third string, because Bogdanovich is going to back up Hield because you got Barnes and Ariza. They're the three only, but Hield and Bogdanovich are the two, and then Fox and Joseph are the one. So like Yogi Ferrell's just third string everybody.
Yeah.
So we'll be back with some dumpster fires.
Okay.
Hey, you know something?
Hmm.
Check out our weekly shows.
Uh-oh.
The Hard Traveling Fanboys go off the page and kick off their annual Walking Dead Month discussion of Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4, Episode 1.
I heard they're making a movie of The Walking Dead.
I didn't know it was still on the air. I thought people gave up on it.
No, that show makes mega ratings.
Yeah, but I thought people were getting sick of it and they're running out of ideas.
It's easy to run out of ideas, but you can still have a show and run out of ideas.
Yeah, but I thought like this is their last season, so I don't know.
Well, Andrew Lincoln is gone. I know that.
As we are in October, Scott continues his look at the classic Universal Monsters in the latest edition of Pop Goes the Classics with 1931's Frankenstein.
Still better than Tom Cruise's The Mummy.
Scott just keeps it current with movies from the 30s.
Oh, please. You could be a little bit nicer than that.
We love Scott.
Yes, we do. He's the man. He's the PIC.
DC for You kicks off a month of DC Comics' best horror offerings with a list of Russell's and Todd's favorite scary DC stories, plus a look at Keanu Reeves' Constantine film from 2005.
Speaking of DC movies, are you going to go see Joker?
No. Speaking of horror, how about that dumpster fire group we just went through, or we'll be going through?
But you think Charlotte's going to be in that dumpster fire, like the horror show? I think a couple of them are going to be, like, especially bad. The New York Knicks just come immediately to mind for me. That is going to be awful.
Siblings Kevin and Mary host Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast. On episode 19, they bring you The Office Season 3, Episodes 9 and 10. I assume they were good because it was Stephen Carell.
You better catch them on Netflix before NBC Universal steals their... What do they call it? The Peacock? Isn't that the name of their streaming service?
No, it's like NBCU.
No, it's called Peacock. I swear.
Is it?
Yeah, that's the name of the NBC Universal streaming service, and they basically are taking the rights back from Netflix because Netflix has made so much money on The Office and Friends that they're like eternally jealous, and Warner Brothers and Universal are basically taking their properties back.
Yep.
Streaming wars.
Good luck paying for all those.
Yes.
On Laugh in Theater number 12, Andy welcomes David Sunday to live watch So I Married an Axe Murderer.
That is a Mike Myers movie, right?
Yes.
Who's the girl?
Not Mike Myers.
I'm trying to remember who the girl was.
And on the latest episode of PTBN's E-Ticket Attraction, Jason welcomes Andy to discuss that other theme park in Orlando, Universal Studios. And later on the show is joined by his friend Starla Marie Locke to recap Universal's Halloween Horror Nights.
Okay. That sounds
theme
exciting.
Parks.
Yeah, theme parks.
Yeah, why not? And the greatest song of the 80s tournament is concluded with Sweet Child of Mine winning.
Sweet Child of Mine won the 80s song competition?
That's what it sounds like. So, good for them.
good for Guns N' Roses. They needed a break. They needed a break.
And check out a brand new podcast feed brought to you by our very own Jennifer Smith. The Jenny Position can be found everywhere.
Yeah, Jennifer Smith is awesome.
Yep, the Jenny Position, it'll be the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, and lots of fun new content. So...
Do we need to go on the Jenny Position?
Is that what we're going to be next?
That's what the NBA team podcast needs to try to like vouch that we could be on the Pop Beat and the Jenny Position.
Like, that's where we're getting just going to be up now that we're on the Jenny Position.
Well, you could do double the hits.
Two to four.
Lord knows we need them.
No, for years I've been saying this is just my basketball therapy.
Yeah, it is.
Because my wife does not care about it, so she's like, go.
In all seriousness, we just enjoy talking about the basketball. It's just sort of good to kind of get the talk out.
We'd be chatting either way. This way, it's just recorded.
Correct. Correct.
All right, back to the show.
And we're back, Adam. How you doing?
Well, now we're here in No Hope City, so.
Okay, we're in the basement of the NBA. You're saying?
Let's just get into it.
Okay, the Atlanta Hawks. Lloyd Pierce coaches them. Trae Young, John Collins. That's sort of their twosome there. After that, a whole bunch of changes. They drafted Jabari. They signed Jabari Parker, but then they got a bunch of bad contracts in the process. Evan Turner, Alan Crabb, Chandler Parsons. They drafted DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish. They brought in Damian Jones. They traded Amari Spellman out of there for Jones, out of Golden State. They drafted Bruno Fernando, and then they're bringing back DeAndre Bembry, Alex Len. Kevin Huerter. It's a little bit of a weird team. It all really depends on just how good Trae Young can really be in his sophomore year, right?
You'd think so, but it really – you have to have DeAndre Hunter do something in his rookie year because Kevin Huerter is just – he is.
He's a great shooter. Well, he's a good shooter.
Collins is an overachiever. You know, Alex Leonard, Bruno Fernando, they're interchangeable. So it's just Jabari Parker because nobody else wanted him because he can't play defense or do anything.
You know, the players voted that Cam Reddish would be the best rookie. So do you think Reddish might be like a diamond in the rough along with Hunter?
Well, Reddish was voted the best rookie because he's going to be – they're going to let him do anything. It's going to be the Michael Carter Williams. You want to do whatever? We don't care. We don't have any hope right now. We're just here to pass through the season and hope you guys, you know, something sticks to the wall. They're not – I'm under.
They're over under. I saw, unless I'm incorrect, it was 34 and a half wins.
Under.
That is just like, wow. Under. Like, I think they're going to be worse than last year. Last year they had 29 wins. I don't see that. I do think Trae Young's an exciting player. John Collins, he's – do you think he'll be a 2010 guy?
He's an overachiever.
But do you think he can do 20-10?
No.
No?
He's an overachiever, but he's not a superstar.
He's not a superstar. Outside, do you think Reddish or Hunter can be that next tier, like that next guy along with Young and Collins?
They need one of those two, so let's just draft two and hope one does it.
But what's your guess? Do you think that one of them can do it?
They'll have the chance.
Okay. Moving on, let's talk about the Charlotte Hornets.
Just quickly, one last thing about Atlanta. They remind me of the Celtics team, where they just had a ton of rookies. It's like, okay, Sebastian Telfair, Al Jefferson, we don't, just go. If somebody turns out good, we're cool with it.
Yeah, but that team had Paul Pierce. There's no Paul Pierce here.
Yeah, it was Pierce and just sadness.
Okay, Charlotte. This is a team that was pretty close to making the playoffs last year with 39 wins, fell short. You'd think that they would try to supermax Kemba Walker. They didn't. They lowballed him. Kemba Walker is now a Boston Celtic. They bring in Terry Rozier as part of that deal where they kind of flipped him. Here's the funny thing about the Hornets. A lot of people are already kind of giving up on them, but because they were so saddled with a lot of the contracts, they weren't really able to move a lot of pieces. So it's kind of the same team, just you flipping Walker for Rozier.
The problem is this team was just terrible, and everybody sort of knew that. And their big problem is you have, you know, Marvin Williams makes a ton of money. You can't do anything with him. Kid Gilchrist took 50 steps back.
Now, let me say this. Kid Gilchrist, Marvin Williams, and then the last one you didn't mention, Bismack Biyombo, all unrestricted free agents after the season. So this will be the year where you can actually make some moves, like, or this next offseason.
Yeah, you could wait till they go, but you're just stuck with, you know, Batum. And, like, again, Gilchrist just made tons of move backwards. You got, you know, Cody Zeller is back to your starter after he was third string last year. Marvin Williams lost out. You know, he's now backing up Miles Bridges, who was he was okay. Malik Monk just continues to disappoint everybody.
I'm glad you mentioned those two in a row. I think Monk and Bridges, if they can make a big jump, that would save the Hornets a lot of heartache. You know, like kind of like the Kings with Fox and Hield. Like, I'm not saying that they're at that level, but if they can both really make a jump, like, you know, Monk was a 9 point per game guy, Bridges as a rookie was 7.5 points with 4 rebounds. Like, if they can go to maybe double digit scoring and up the rebounding, that would be a godsend for them.
Under.
You'd still go under. Their under is this is the funny thing. They're 23.5 wins. You talk about a vast differential. They had 39 wins, and their over under in Vegas is 23.5. So you're saying they're going to be like a 60-62 loss team.
Terrible. There's nothing good in that. You know, you're relying, you're hoping on two developmental guys.
A lot of people thought they overachieved last year, Adam, with James Borrego, and you know Borrego's still there. So,
but the talent isn't.
I'll go over. You know, I think that there are some worser teams, like we just mentioned Atlanta. There's another team that we're going to be talking about in a second that I think is worse than I don't want to be. I don't want to call them completely putrid. I think you're ready to call them putrid.
This team is just go. I'll let you just take it.
All right, let's move on to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They fired Tyronn Lue, and then they bring in Larry Drew, and now the new head coach is John Beilein, who was the coach for the Michigan Wolverines in college basketball. That was just a really, really weird hire. They didn't really make a lot of moves outside of drafting Darius Garland high in the draft, in the lottery. Dylan Windler was another guy they brought in, too. Outside of that, just a bunch of contracts that they're kind of forced to hold on to. Do you think we'll see a minute of J.R. Smith with the Cleveland Cavaliers, or do you think that's over?
No, that's over. The problem with this team is you gave Kevin Love more money. Tristan Thompson is a very, you know, he's a good defensive big, but he's not going to provide you anything.
He only played 43 games last year. Yeah.
You know, Larry Nash Jr. is backing both them up. You got Colin Sexton, who you're super high on as your point guard. Then you draft the point guard. I don't think those two can play together.
I think the idea is that they're going to play Colin Sexton at the two.
I don't think he can play the two, though.
Okay. Why? Because he's too small?
They're both sort of, yeah, they're both sort of the same player, and it's not good if you're, well, we got a point guard, but he doesn't know how to play point guard.
Do you think Matthew Dellavedova will be invigorated by his Australian campaign in the FIBA World Cup?
I forgot he's still on the team. You know,
I'm half joking because he played well in the Olympics and he didn't really do much after that. So yeah, he's still on the team. John Henson is there. Brandon Knight is there.
Yeah, Brandon Knight's just collecting money somehow, and Jordan Clarkson has a big contract, and it's just you have all these just big contracts of nobody who's. Like Clarkson and Knight and yeah. Dellavedova's getting paid.
And then you free up Kevin Love to max money. Now, Kevin Love, he averaged 17 and 11. Like, he's not a terrible player. He just didn't play a lot of games.
He's good. He's just always been injured.
Yeah. Well, 22 games, that's a small sample size. City Osman was one of the only bright spots. Do you see him sort of taking another leap, or do you think we've kind of seen the best of him?
Oh, I like him. I think he's good.
Okay. Outside of that, you know, there's really not much to really write home for, you know, Timothy Luwawu Cabarro, our buddy TLC. He just can't catch a break. Do you think Beilein's going to run anything different? You know, he was known in college for like running 1-3-1 zone and, you know, being kind of 3-point efficient and being able to run really efficient offenses. Do you think that we'll see any kind of inkling of that in the NBA for Beilein? Because, you know, it's not as easy to, you know, carve a niche out when you're a college coach and you run the show and then you go in the NBA. You know, we saw that with Billy Donovan and plenty of other examples. Like, do you think Beilein's going to struggle with that?
A bit. Because, again, you have a point guard who can't play point. You've drafted a rookie who played 4 games, so we don't even know what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
You have Kevin Love who just wants to shoot threes now.
Mm-hmm. What if Garland's really good and we don't know it because he barely played at Vanderbilt?
If he's good, then good for them. They deserve a better team than this dumpster fire.
Moving on to another team that's bringing in a point guard for the future, Ja Morant is the Memphis Grizzlies. I had to look up Lily like the day before we did this who the head coach was because I totally forgot. His name is Taylor Jenkins. So we got a new coach, but we got a brand new team. I mean, Andre Iguodala's on this team. I don't know if he'll ever see the light of day in Memphis.
No, we could just ignore him.
Okay.
But this team is – I mean, they look good.
Like, what do you mean by look good?
As in, okay, Ja Morant's your point guard of the future.
Okay.
You Dylan Brooks over Chiefs. Okay.
Jonas Valanciunas.
I was going to say Jaren Jackson, who did good last year, and
yes.
Then Brandon Clark, who, depending on who you are, you either love him or hate him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a nice little young foundation to go on, as opposed to the old dinosaur team they've been rolling out for 20 years. You know, the 20 years too late, it seems like. And, you know, Jay Crowder has been good in Utah. So
Josh Jackson, we don't even have to talk about because he's going to the G League. How sad is that? A number 3 pick, and he's going to the G League in his third year.
Yeah.
I mean, just a real cautionary tale. Grayson Allen, Tyus Jones was signed over 3 years, $26 million. That's a heavy price tag for a backup point guard.
He was the number 4 pick.
Yeah. Kyle Anderson – you know, like he showed off a little bit of what he was able to do in San Antonio when he signed with Memphis, but the numbers were kind of the numbers were the same as what he was doing in San Antonio. He didn't like take a leap. Then they took on Miles Plumlee and Solomon Hill. Do you think we'll see them try to contribute?
No.
But I mean, they're going to play though. It's not like Iguodala. Iguodala's done. I think Iguodala is just looking to find a way to get a buyout. Or get a trade so that he can keep his money because he's not going to take a buyout.
Oh, of course not. That's exactly the case, and they're fine with that. But this team, like I said, there's good as opposed to we never had a draft pick or we're just going to roll out the same 38-year-old lineup. No, they have players. You could be like, okay, I could get behind Morant. I could get behind Jackson. I can get behind, you know.
And you knew the writing was on the wall with Mike Conley the moment they got the number 2 pick. You knew they were going to take Morant, and you knew Conley was out.
Oh, and he was totally classy about it the whole time. He's like, oh, you know, if you need me to teach him, I'll teach him. I love Memphis. I'm going to do, you know, good. It wasn't just, oh, I need a trade. He didn't scumbag his way out.
No, definitely not. Yeah. They had 33 wins last year, 26.5 is the over-under. That's a good number.
Push.
I'll go under. I'll say like 25 wins. I just don't see a lot there. This one I'm just automatically putting under, the New York Knicks. I don't even need to know the number.
I could we could agree on that.
17 wins last year. Was that the worst record in the NBA, or am I missing somebody?
It could have been.
17 wins is a lot of losses. That's a lot of losses. 26.5 is the over-under. Now, look, they took a lot of flyers on people like Julius Randle, Marcus Morris, Bobby Portis, a lot of people where they can pick up options later. But and then they bring in R.J. Barrett, you know, with the number three pick. But, I mean, come on. I just don't see it there. They thought they were going to make a splash by getting, you know, one of those big-time free agents that were available. They got none of them. So,
well, the problem is they try to spin it like this was good all along. Just be like, yeah, we missed out. Okay, you have Mitchell Robinson, who overachieved because he's an unknown commodity. But then you just, Randall, you could say he did good in New Orleans. Then you have Portis, who did good in, was it New Orleans?
He was in Washington.
Washington.
Yeah, he was in Chicago and Washington.
Mirotić went to.
Yeah.
Yeah, Portis. Okay, he's also a power forward. Then he signed Taj Gibson, who is a power forward, and then Marcus Morris, who's a power
Marcus Morris,
forward.
who they had to swindle from the Spurs, right? Didn't he agree to sign with the Spurs, and then he shunned him for the Knicks because the Knicks offered more?
Yeah, he that did not go down well. But you signed four power forwards, like that doesn't make any sense. And then you know,
Do you think Alfred Payne's going to start in front of Dennis Smith Jr.?
No.
I just want to get that out of the way. Okay,
no.
So you think
Dennis Smith isn't bad. He's developing. It's just, well, then you have Frankie, who, nope, they've pretty much
Here I go again with this. He played well for France in the World Cup.
The writing's on the wall for him because you have Smith and Barrett.
I'm almost to the point where if he still struggles, they might not even pick up a $6 million team option.
Oh, no.
I'm talking about Frank Ntilikina.
Most likely.
Kevin Knox, good player on a rookie contract. You know, Damian Dotson, they really liked in you know, sparing minutes. Outside of that, you know, Iggy Brazdeikis, Wayne Ellington, Reggie Bullock. It's just a really weird team. You know, Dave Fizdale is still coaching there. I'm not really expecting much here. I'll just go under right off the bat. I really just don't enjoy talking about the Knicks. Even with this version that seems kind of fresh, it still doesn't feel – it just feels like you're changing the hood on a dead car.
Okay, then moving on.
Moving on, we got the Oklahoma City Thunder, another team that had major change.
It's a dumpster fire. They're, I put them down on this list in this group initially because they're just going to have the – we don't have the heart to be in it right now. Like Chris Paul, I expect him to be traded for parts.
I don't think so. I think that he's going to play the whole year. I think he's going to play the whole year in Oklahoma City and try to show what he can do still.
Like, I think this was just sort of a gut reaction.
Give one for the Gipper kind of thing. I would be surprised if he was traded.
Like, Alexander, he's, you know, he overachieved in L.A. But then you just, you know, you're drafting. You got Diallo. You got Terrence Ferguson, who's Diallo. And then you got Darius Blaisley, who's just a bigger of those two guys.
But they also got Danilo Gallinari in that trade.
Yeah, so but he played well, but he wasn't injured. We expect him to get injured. Like, no, on paper, Chris Paul, Gallinari, and Steven Adams, they should, if it weren't the West, be a solid 8 seed.
And now Dennis Schroeder is your perennial backup, which actually is fine. You know, that's sort of what he was doing with Russell Westbrook, but there were I saw a lot of lineups where they would stagger him and they would play him alongside Westbrook, whereas I'm pretty sure that Schroeder's going to play behind Paul, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander will be the other point guard, or I think Shai can probably play alongside Paul. Would you agree with that?
I agree. So what's their over-under?
They had 49 wins last year, but obviously that was with Paul George and Russell Westbrook before they blew it up. 31.5 wins.
I'll take the over.
Do you think Billy Donovan's going to make it through the season?
No, because he's not that good.
It don't matter if he's not that good. I mean, there's a lot of bad coaches that are going to
get jobs. But he's just squandered. He squandered what all that talent they had. Now it's just like, eh.
Well, he didn't squander it. They left.
They all left, but he didn't do anything when he was there. They were there.
Yeah, there was a little bit of an extra punch to the gut when Serge Ibaka won a championship. It was another one like, oh, not this one. You know, with Russell, it was just a situation where after they traded Paul George, you could see the writing on the wall, and Sam Presti just hit the rebuild button. You know, but the problem is with Chris Paul there, he's sort of in the way of the rebuild, because I think he's going to put as much effort as he can into that team to try to make them good. I just think he's underappreciated. Like, I know that he's slipped a little bit as a player, but I don't think he's slipped that far. You know.
Well, we'll see what happens with him.
I just don't think that Oklahoma City is going to be like a bottom feeder type of team.
No, that was just a gut. You know, you went from really good to,
like, for the segment before, like, I would not be shocked that they were kind of in that niche of like a 30 to 40 win team. You know, it wouldn't surprise.
I also still think they're going to strip him for parts. And okay, here's just cap space.
Adam, who's going to take the contract? It's a $30+ million per year. They got Jimmy Butler. They literally had to chop up the team in order just to get Butler's contract to fit.
They'll be like, here's Kelly Olynyk, James Johnson, and some other miscellaneous parts for him. And they'll be like, okay. And so, you know, that's what I think. Miami's a team that somehow makes trades work, and I don't know how.
Okay, here's two teams, one from the West and one from the East. Let's hit the Western team first. The Phoenix Suns, new head coach, Monty Williams. He's all around good guy. Everybody likes him. Devin Booker is your max guy. Ricky Rubio.
Strange.
Well, Rubio played great for Spain, you know, and he got a 3-year, $51 million contract. Do you think that maybe this will be a nice change of scenery for him? He can play with Booker. He can feed DeAndre Ayton underneath, you know.
You want to say that, but then you just look at this team and, like they went hard for Rubio. Like, he's the difference maker. And Saric is – you know, I don't want to say he didn't really do too well after the trade from Minnesota, but that's Minnesota. They were just a lost cause.
I like them getting Aaron Baines. I think he can fit well with them. Signing Frank Kaminsky made no sense to me.
See, that's the problem is all their sadness of bad draft picks is behind them now because they cut them all.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know where any of them ended up. I know we mentioned Jackson is in Memphis, but mm-hmm. Where's did Bender go anywhere?
Dragan Bender is with Milwaukee.
Okay, and then Chris was in Cleveland.
Marquise Chris, he just signed somewhere, but it was almost like a training camp roster type of thing.
Oh, that's the problem is, and you know,
I think they found a good one with Mikal Bridges. Like, he averaged like nearly a steal and 1.6 steals per game for a rookie. That's really, really good.
Yeah,
so
but then you had Oubre, and then you draft Cam Johnson.
Well, not only that, you signed Oubre back for 2 years, $30 million.
Yeah, you signed him back, and then, like I said, you get – it's like, why are you doubling up on all these things? And, mm-hmm. like, you know, Frank Kaminsky, why?
Yeah, that one made no sense. DeAndre Ayton, 16 points, 10 rebounds, and – one block and one steal. That's nothing to sniff at. Do you think that he can take another jump? Do you think he could be 20 and 10 type of player?
Well, yes. I would say with Rubio, there's no reason he shouldn't be.
Especially with T.J. Warren gone, you know, you got a little bit of a gap in scoring. Ayton can definitely fit that bill.
Rubio will make him better.
Devin Booker, do you think he can average 30 points a game?
He's overrated.
He's overrated, but can he average 30 points a game?
He's a shooter. He doesn't do anything else. He doesn't defend. He doesn't pass. He doesn't... It's like, oh, yeah, if he's shooting 30 a game, nobody else is shooting.
But he's averaging almost 7 assists a game, too.
Well, yeah,
like,
because
he's not that bad.
Because everybody double teams him, and he has to pass it.
Some people think he's going to be an all-star.
I wouldn't. I think it's just my Phoenix just negativity is bringing me down
they're
on him.
They're under. This is scrumptious. 29.5. I'll go way under.
Yeah, I'll go under as well.
I just don't see it there. Like, I could see Ayton taking a leap along with Booker and some people getting a little bit excited about the Suns. And with Monty Williams coaching them, they're going to play a little bit better defense. But no, this is not a 29-win team. Absolutely not. Let's talk about the Eastern Conference team, and this is going to be our last one on the kind of the bottom feeder section. The Washington Wizards, this is a mess. Now, a lot of it has to do with John Wall being out, and we're pretty much anticipating that Wall's going to be out. Did they officially announce that he's going to be done for the season?
I think he's done for the year. They applied for the exemption, but I'm not positive. And there's they're just so handcuffed. It's
because of Bradley Beal's contract, Ian Mahimi's contract.
They had to let everybody go. They kept Thomas Bryant because they had to keep him.
Mm-hmm. 3 years, $25 million. That's good for him. You know, that was a guy who went second round with the Lakers and had to work his way up, and he did it. So good for him.
Hachimura, they like, so hopefully he's something.
They brought in Isaac Bonga and
CJ Miles. This is just Bradley Beal with the Boston Celtics team. I just said, here's a bunch of young guys. Hope somebody does something.
Mm-hmm. What about bringing in Ish Smith? That'll kind of give him a little bit of relief at the point guard position.
Under.
Well, yeah. I mean, their over-under is 27.5 wins, which means, I mean, you're talking about like a 59-60 loss team. So,
under.
Yeah. It's Isaiah Thomas. I didn't even know that. Isaiah Thomas is on the team.
Yeah, they signed him and he got injured again.
Yeah, but do you think he can spark a little bit of that magic?
Everybody hopes so. Everybody likes him. There's no Isaiah Thomas hater out in the universe because he was such a good guy. It's just, it's a shame. Injuries killed him.
Were you surprised that they gave up on Parker and Bobby Portis, that they let them both go?
They didn't give up on them. They couldn't afford either of them.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't try to they could have at least moved Brian. They could have moved somebody.
They couldn't move anybody with
Ball. Well, Mahimi they couldn't move. That was the biggest problem.
And that's the problem. You have Mahimi who sucks up all your money. They had to lose Zadaransky. They had to lose Portis. Parker, who cares? But they had to lose those two good guys because, we have zero money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just pure sadness for them.
Boy, you are in a chipper mood, Adam. I mean, we could talk about Troy Brown Jr. He might take a leap. I mean, you got to look at the bright side of some things with Washington because there are going to be a lot of losses here. Bradley Beal, the only thing that you wonder is Bradley Beal better as the first option guy instead of a second banana? That's kind of the big question there. Can despite the team being bad, is Beal better off being like the star player of a team?
Well, we'll find out.
So that pretty much wraps up. Did you have any kind of parting shots or any overall thoughts about some of these teams?
Tonight they're the Kings of No Hope City.
Well, it's No Hope City, but not the Kings. The Kings are not in No Hope City.
Not the Kings, but these are the No Hope royalty.
What players are you keeping an eye on, just in general, for in this crop? Just a few of them you can name for me.
In the dumpster fire group?
No, but either or from the previous segment too. I mean, obviously Zion, De'Aaron Fox.
Of course, you'll say that. No, not the ones who are supposed to be good. Like somebody who's gonna, can anybody take a leap? Will anybody from New York do anything? Any of the young guys? Will any flyer? Anybody? Somebody took a flyer on? Will that pay off?
I'm keeping an eye on Wiggins. I'm keeping an eye on Chris Paul in Oklahoma City to see if he really tries to put forth a good effort. I want to see Beal. I want to see John Morant. With Atlanta, can Trae Young – the only problem with Trae Young is that he'll always be tied to Luka Doncic trade, so they'll always be bound together, So we talked about Dallas in the show too. So Luka's another guy on the flip side. You kind of wonder about the duality of that and who's going to have a good sophomore year. Is either of them going to have a slump? And, you kind of go back and forth about that.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. It's good to see you again, or good to hear from you because I can't see you, but – I'm hearing you. So, but we hear everybody else out there, and I'm glad that you're listening to our show. We're going to be back with more previews. Until then, take care, guys.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceMination.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceMination.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceMination.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.